continue where we started last week, we said bringing priestly influence in our homes. Bringing priestly influence in our home. And we started by reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. We're here to test and prove what God's good and pleasing perfect is if we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And last week, I did say, in case anyone doesn't know my name is Pastor Gideon Nash. We're speaking from South Street Baptist Church. There's a few of you listening to it online. Who is a priest? We said a priest is someone who offers holy and acceptable sacrifices before God and brings a covering over his people, his home, his house. He also stands before God's presence, praying for himself and interceding for others. So, Gary, today, having decided to get baptized, what you're going to do is to bring priestly influence over your home, over your house. That means anyone who dwells in your home, anywhere and everywhere that you have influence. And of course, to bring priestly influence in your church. But it's got to start first from home. And you have to stand before God in his presence, praying for yourself and interceding. That means standing in place of literally asking from your Father for your friends. That is what God expects from you. God's purpose and intention, as I mentioned to you yesterday, last week, is that for his people to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a special treasure above all people who will walk in his provision, destiny designed for them. So today, I'm addressing you, Gary, and I'm addressing the church too. That you have to begin to become a kingdom of priests. That means not just you alone. That means you are beginning to bring the influence of God over the people in your household so they will become a kingdom unto our God. And they will become a priest unto our God. And you who sit in this house, we are saying that God is asking us to be a kingdom of priests and to bring his influence wherever we are because we are a special people that God has called us. And you can take a reference from Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. That now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandments, then out of all the nations you will be a treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you have to speak to the Israelites. So these are the words that should be on your heart, Gary. These are the words that should be on you, a priest of God in this house, that you have to proclaim to your people time and time again. Last week, I also said we should look to Jesus if we want to exercise the priesthood. We have to look to Jesus, who is our high priest, because he went to the cross and offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice through the shedding of his blood to cover us so that we would live. He covered us when even we were stooped, sinking deep into unrighteousness, doing things which was not pleasing to God, going our own way, being independent. Probably at that time you were not doing anything to your own mind is wrong. But you were so far away from God that you couldn't connect with God. And the chance of you being far away, you could well be a born-again, tongue-speaking person. But then if you are not connecting with God, if you wake up in the morning and his praise is not on your lips, you wake up in the morning, have not the energy to spend some time to be in your there place, or that place called there, to pray to your God, or even spend some quality time to look at his scripture and say, God, what have you got to say, tell me today? If you're not doing that, you are far from God. You have abdicated your priesthood. And I pray today that Gary and anyone who sees himself or herself as a priest in the house, in the home, will also begin to connect with God and say, you know what, God? I want to be a priest to bring your influence in my area. Anywhere I find myself in, I want to bring your influence. I want to bring the name of God in that place. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus was our high priest. So to be that kind of priest requires your obedience to his word and righteousness, meaning doing what is right before God. That is righteousness, big word, doing what is right before God. And today you've done what is right before God. All this while you are sitting down, and like I said, pew warmer, I didn't mean you, sorry. I promise you, when I'm preparing the preacher, I don't think about nobody. I just say, God, you yourself anoint me and give me words to share with the people to bless somebody. So if it was speaking to you, please, I didn't intend it that way, but it's good for you. So today, if you're sitting here and you are just warming the pews, not connecting with God, not doing anything meaningful, not doing anything which is right before God, one of the things that I keep saying, and the Bible tells us Acts chapter 8, when Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, he spoke the word of God to him. He told him that Jesus Christ is the one who takes away our sins. He was the one, the ultimate sacrifice for us. And because of him, we have access to God. And that if you accept him as your Lord and Savior, confess with your mouth that he is the Lord, and that he said, today I'm prepared to accept your work on the cross as my substitute. Come and live in me with your Holy Spirit. Then the Bible says you'll be saved. That means you give your life to Christ. But then coming back to Philip, Philip said, at that time, the eunuch said, now, thank you, Philip, for preaching to me, but now, here is water. What prevents me from getting baptized? You see, the reason why sometimes people don't get baptized is because they believe that there are some habits in their life they can't let go. Or they are struggling with certain things that we think, oh no, everybody is expecting me to be perfect. You know what? Jesus Christ is the only perfect. He is the only righteous person. And therefore, your perfection and your righteousness is in Christ. Because he will help you with his Holy Spirit to help you one day at a time to give up those bad things that you are worried about. Some of them will even vanish without even you doing nothing. Gary, I think you recognize that, right? Okay, don't tell me yet. So what I'm trying to say is that our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. So for that reason, here is water. What prevents you? So if you hear and you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are not baptized. The question is, here is water. What prevents you? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'm saying, here is water. What prevents you? See, one of the reasons why the whole world is falling over themselves about coronavirus, which I'm not underestimating it at all because it can still kill. But there are far many illnesses that are more deadly. My argument to my family, my sibling, was this, that Ebola virus happened in Liberia and Congo before then, and some African countries. They were third world countries. If we can call them 10th world countries, you're probably right. Where there are no facilities like we have. Even when they have their scientists, they probably will think about money than doing what they have to do. Nothing. The chance of dying of Ebola, 50% plus. The chance of dying from coronavirus, 1%. I'm speaking some French here. Only 1%. You see, I'm not underestimating. Even 1% is enough. So I'm encouraging you as church that take the medical advice seriously. Take the scientific advice seriously. Take the hygiene advice being given to you seriously. Don't say, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to do nothing. you're not being wise. Do the right things. And when you do the right things, God will cover you. Last week I said one of the things that we have to do as priests is to take communion and mark our doors with the blood of Jesus, just like it was done. And when the destroyer comes, when the plague comes, it will pass over you. Amen. Amen. So I'm saying this to encourage you, deviating a little bit from my test, but to encourage you to be calm. Don't panic. Do the right things and look to God. And He will protect you. So what it takes to be that kind of priest is in obedience and righteousness. So what does it take to bring a priestly influence in our homes? Last week I spoke about many points. You go to our website and listen to the preach. But I want to continue from here. So I said, what does it take to bring a priestly influence in our homes? One, the priest should walk in revelation of the presence of God. Should walk in revelation of the presence of God and carry that presence with him wherever he goes. I'll spend a little bit of time on this first point. I have 5 points, but this first point I'll spend a little bit of time, and then the rest I'll probably be much shorter. So walk in revelation of the presence of God and carry that presence with you wherever you go. Jesus was the visible expression of the presence of God here in this earth when he was a man here. He manifested, that means he revealed on earth the Heavenly Father because he was in close and intimate relationship with him. We likewise must be God carriers. Jesus was carrying God with him. So he was able to say, I and my Father are one. Because he spent so much time with God whilst he was here, a man on this earth, that he carried God with him. So wherever he went, he was a God carrier. That is what it means by having the presence of God to be with you. It was just like the people of Israel when they were traveling on the wilderness after having literally been delivered through the blood sacrifice of a spotless lamb, Exodus 12, signifying Jesus Christ being died on the cross. There and there, because in the Anglican tradition where I came from, we did the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a lintel and then the sides, right? But footballers do something like this. I don't know what they are doing. Let me move on from the footballers. So what I'm trying to say, tell you right now is that we have to manifest, we have to carry, we have to be seen that God is with us. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? God needs to be with us. His presence needs to be with us. People need to see it among us. We've got to be God carriers. The ark of God needs to be seen as being carried by the people of God. And the ark carried the presence of God. So when they carried the ark of God, the people of Israel in their journey, they carried the ark of God in wherever they went. People saw that God was with them. So you, like a Christian, you who has been baptized, you who call yourself a Christ follower, you should carry the presence of God with you. So that when people see you, they know that you are a God carrier. In that way, you cannot be defeated. I think about Moses. The guy was never trained to fight, but he never lost a war. For 40 years that he led the people of Israel, every battle that they faced, untrained people, he won each one of them. How did he do that? He was a God carrier. And he taught the people to carry the ark of God in the midst of them. So they were God carriers. In spite of their disobedience, in spite of their sin, in spite of their murmuring, in spite of their criticisms, in spite of the backbiting, yet they carried God with him. So we are not talking about perfect people, right? But you've got to be prepared to carry the presence of God with you. Hallelujah. Amen. The presence of God is a place where the oil of the anointing is continuous. Where the breath of the Spirit blows. Where we find rest. Where there's fulfillment, peace, and enjoyment. The presence of God is the place that the priest must abide in and lead his household into. And indeed, the church must also abide in the presence of God so that they can lead believers into it. I remember Jesus Christ in this discourse with Nicodemus, who was a real, did we say man of God? He knew the Bible. He knew the scriptures. He taught the scriptures. I would say he was a teacher of the law. But then he acknowledged that he didn't know as much. But he came to Jesus Christ. When he came to Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus, I know that you know so much that I don't know. But when he came, he said, I know you're a man from God, because no one does those miracles and the signs that you do. So he pointed about what Jesus Christ was carrying is the signs, is the wonders, is the miracles, and is the anointing that was over his life. He saw something more than just the knowledge that Jesus Christ had. So for us, we need to carry something more than what we have. We need to carry something more than our education. We need to carry something more than our money. What should define us is be God carriers, the presence of God, his anointing. So, Gary, today if you've come here to baptize, it's a good thing. You're going to be a God carrier, because John 3, verse 5 says that, look, truly, truly, I tell you, you've got to be born again. Unless you are born by water and of the Spirit. So unless you go through the baptism and then the Spirit anoint you, there's always a way to do things, you know. Hello? Even our car, there's a way to drive your car. Isn't that right? It says, unless you do that, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. It didn't say you not enter into heaven. You not enter into the kingdom of God. You know what he was saying? You will not enter into the supernatural power of God. So today, if you want to enter into the supernatural power of God, you got to do the right thing. So from here on, it's forward ever. From here on, you're going to rebuke them dogs and they will stop barking at you. Today, you're going to rebuke anybody who messes about with you. Yes? Don't go and rebuke your wife, though. It will knock you over with a frying pan. Oh, please, this is not part of it. Take it from the recording. Right. What are we saying? The presence of God is the place that the priest must abide. The presence of God should transform you from glory to glory by his Spirit. It should transform you from glory to glory. So if you are a believer, born again, even tongue speaking, and your life is not being transformed from glory to glory, you're not carrying the presence of God. There's got to be a visible change. There's got to be a powerful change. There's got to be something that should shake your atmosphere. There's got to be something that should shake your home. There's got to be something that should shake the place that you are. There's got to be something powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, if we can read that one very quickly, girls, pay attention 100%. 2 Corinthians. So, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That is NIV. In New King James or King James Version, as I studied it, it said, you are being changed into the image of God. You are being made like God from one degree of glory to the other. This is an experience that should awe people when they see you. It's got to be an awesome experience. You read Acts chapter 2, verse 43, and you see that there was a sense of awe filled that place. And I thank God yesterday we had a supernatural encounter here. It was awesome. We move people into another level of the power of God. Supernatural encounter is not so much about speaking in tongues, you know. It's about being activated in the power of God and being released to influence wherever you are. And those who are here can tell you it was another level. And I will take this also to tell you a little bit about vision of this house. In this house, we want to see God come powerfully. Our vision is to transform lives. Just like the scripture is saying, Transformation is a change from the ordinary. It makes you special, new, and powerful and beautiful to look at. We want to equip people. We have good teaching in this house. And we want to let people move in the supernatural power of God. I love speaking in tongues. It's not about that. It's about the power of God. Because God does not want us to be powerless Christians. I've been a Christian for a long time, you know, but I've been powerless. And I was telling people that actually I've been a proper pastor for 20 years. It's only in the last 2-3 years that I've experienced the power of God in a remarkable way. I taught the scripture accurately, I believe. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a walk-through the Bible instructor teaching churches all over the country and other countries. By what I know now, God reaching out to people. So for us as a church, our vision is to move people into that. So every pathway of our vision is to move you from glory to glory, ever-increasing glory. So when you come to a new life, a new beginning, it's moving you to another level. Because the things that you know, you relearn them again. As I said, I know scripture, but I've learned a lot teaching people that way. And then we'll move you to evangelism, and we'll move you to introduction to leadership. We don't teach about 4 steps to become a leader, you know. We teach you about relationship, about God. And Gary, you have been there. And from there on, you learn how to have that intimacy with God. And if you follow what we tell you and what scripture tells you, above all, you'll be a different person. And by the time that you go to House of Peace, your life would have been transformed beyond reasonable doubt. And don't let nobody fool you. If you've gone through House of Peace, not many people know scripture and experience the power of God as you do. Amen. I'm very confident about what I'm saying because we are experiential. We don't talk theories here. I said the presence of God is the place of anointing. It should transform your life. Jesus carried the presence of God with him. That is why wherever he went, he changed the spiritual atmosphere and miracles happened. He spent time in God's presence. So we are teaching you to change atmospheres. Life can be very cruel. You know that? I'm an old man. So I understand that. Sometimes even career progression can be very cruel. Sometimes even money, though it's so good, sometimes can be cruel if you don't have it. It's absolutely true. And you should sometimes be able to shift your atmosphere, change what you don't like. But most people, when they get to that point, because they are powerless, they crumble. But if you are powerful, you stand tall, not like my height, but you stand tall, whatever your height is, and you take authority because you are God's carrier. You carry the presence of God with you. The presence of God makes you bold. It makes you confident. It gives you an assurance of Jesus. You should not allow anything to stifle the flow of his presence in your life. Do whatever it takes to create an awareness of God at all times, especially in your home. So, Gary, do whatever it takes. If you have to get up and shout and scream in your home, do that. Is that okay, sir? We're teaching the converted. You see, be aware of God's presence at all times in your home. Create that awareness because as you are creating that awareness in that house, you are disturbing any principality, power, dominion. You are disturbing anything that is not working well. And because you have authority, you have no fear. You get up and say, God, I don't like this. I take authority over it and I cause it to go where it's got to go. Because some things have been there for far too long. They become mountains. Mountains are demonic principalities that stand in your way and prevent you from attaining your destiny. And the Bible said if you have that faith, like a mustard seed, you don't need that much faith. You just have to have power to command it because you believe in God. Amen. Some people will pray the same prayer and they will have no result because they are powerless. But if you are powerful, because you carry the presence of God, something will shift. Did you know that when the people of Israel were traveling, most often these people didn't have ammunition, and yet people were melting. People were melting. Go and read a story about the wall of Jericho. Even the harlot said, you know what? I'm hiding you because when I heard the whole city is in fear. And when we heard about what God has done, the miracles that he's done, open the Red Sea, that do all those sort of things for you, the whole city melted. People have no strength in them. Their strength failed. And yet they didn't carry no ammunition. And yet people were scared of them. So it's not about physical things, no. It's not about power. It's not about our might, but it's about the power and the presence of God. So you should flow. Do not let end time distractions aimed at wearing you out, soul, spirit, and body, and ultimately killing you spiritually get in the way. End time distractions may come in the form of criticisms, opposition to a cause, or something that may lead you to lose focus of God or the direction you are traveling. That is anything that keeps you too busy to have a meaningful relationship with God can be an end time distraction. Like your work. A lot of people have so much excuse. My work. I'm working. Always I said, I thank God that I spent 27 years of my life working and right to the very top of my career. So I know what it is to be just at the bottom, just doing photocopies, and I know what it is at the top when you make decisions and affect nations. You can be busy in every state. And all those times, I even had a time to be a part-time pastor. Hallelujah. So if you want to create time for God, you'll be able to. Work can be a distraction. It pays your bills. No two ways about it. And I did not allow work to do anything to hold me back from carrying the presence of God. Now, not only work, it can be your sports. You see, these will wear you out and wear you down. But be determined not to allow it to get in the way. Don't allow end time distractions to get in your way. Find that place called there. Gary called it their place. Find your their place, somewhere that when you go there, you can actually feel and experience God. That you can have those arguments with God. And God will answer you. Sometimes your home is not good enough because you wake your kids up. Or maybe your wife is unbelieving or your husband is unbelieving or somebody don't like it. Get out of the house. Walk out on the street. Making sure you are safe though. And begin to pray. Pour out your heart. If not, find a time in the day that you can have that space for yourself. In that there place. That place that you can call there. Jesus Christ had many places. The Mount of Olives. Garden of Gethsemane. And many more like places like that. He found those places so comfortable. That is where he met God. Doesn't mean that God is not anywhere. Get to know God genuinely. Know or knowing means having an intimate experience with the person or object that is known. And God can be known if you decide to want to have an intimate, close experience with him. Once you do, you become a carrier of his presence. God's presence may not solve all of your problems, but as in any intimate relationship, the most difficult issues can be resolved through communication. Did you get that? Presence of God always restores peace and harmony in our homes. Anything that is against God will fight against it, but ultimately there will be one winner. And that will be you because you're God's carrier. And these days I keep telling people that anyone who pick up a fight with me, yes, let's get it on. There will only be one winner. There's always one winner. And to be me, not you. because I'm carrying the presence of God. That's not a threat to anybody at all. I'm just saying that anybody who pick up a fight with you, know that there's only going to be one winner. The Bible says, shall tribulations, we're talking about Romans chapter 8, shall death, shall sickness, shall persecution, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Through Christ, who loves us, isn't it? So that means we have to connect with him and carry him so that with him we become more than conquerors. So when you quote the scripture, quote them properly so that you know how to connect them. So begin by building up upon your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to you then? You see, I'm a Baptist minister. Even our fathers talk about, we believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins. All those things that our fathers kept for us make sense. So if you believe in the Holy Spirit, and we are reciting the Apostles' Creed, or whatever creed that we want, then if we believe it, it's got to be experiential. So the writer, Paul, I believe he wrote this letter to the pastor Jude, because the letters, what we call the epistles, meaning letters to pastors. Right? Timothy and Jude and the rest, they were pastors. And said, Pastor Jude, I want you to build upon your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. So I would say that begin to ask for that supernatural power of God. It's about the power first, and it is evidenced by speaking in unknown tongues. Tongues that you've never learned before. Tongue that men do not understand. You know why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 2 says that anyone who speaks in unknown tongue does not speak to man, but speak to God. So you are speaking to God. And that's how you build upon your faith. So begin. That's why you come to this church. These days we speak in tongues a lot. And we haven't been arrested. And nobody will. Because we can go back to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 to 12. And that was about 750, nearly 800 years before Christ was born. And he was talking about a time that the way for my people to come back to me, the way for my people to carry my presence, he says, with stammering lips and a new tongue, I will speak to my people. What does NIV say? You may tell me something. Go back. Let me see what NIV says. Is that right? Okay, let's move on. Believe what I'm saying. Pick it from New King James Version. He said that, and with stammering lips and a new tongue will I speak to my people. Herein or in this will lie their refreshing, and that will be their repose or rest. That means when you speak in tongues, what it does with you, that with your stammering lips and a new tongue, as you speak it, it brings rest. When you are restless and you don't know what is going, and something, all things around you, just like this time that people are all afraid, and you get some posts and it's so frightening. I'm thinking, oh God, am I going to die or not? I went to a place just weeks here. I might have told you before. The guy who was serving me said, oh, we are all going to die soon. I said, you will die, not me. Amen. He was so shocked that I said that. I didn't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying I'm not going to die. I ain't going to take no cares from you. If you're afraid to die, that's your problem. I ain't going to die. Because I've died already and I'm resurrected, so I don't have to die yet until God says so. So God is so with a new rest. So if you want to be refreshed in your soul, if you want to have some rest from the restlessness around you, begin your prayers in that way. Hallelujah. You see, I'm teaching you some things. Take it from me, because we are not talking theories. I'm talking about practicals. And at least 24 people in this church can confirm exactly what I'm saying. Because in the last year that they've gone through our pathway, they are in that situation. I don't have to teach them anything in that area no more. They themselves experience and do it. Now let me go to the other ones, which will be much, much shorter. Number two. Jesus loves prayer and spent the early part of the day, offering spiritual sacrifices to God by praying for extensive hours and studying the Word of God. That means reading and meditating and reflecting on the Bible and applying it to his life. So in prayer, Jesus could spend time with the Father, connect with him, and affirm himself in his calling. This empowered him to do the things that he did. Miracles and challenging demonic forces. In prayer, the Holy Spirit filled Jesus with power, strength, wisdom, grace, and anointing to fulfill his ministry here on this earth. So as he spent time in prayer, he affirmed himself. He affirmed himself. And what it does is that it makes you bold. It makes you bold. It makes you confident. You're not scared no more. Now you're not timid no more, because you know who you are in the Lord. Because you know God is on your side. Because you know that your God is bigger than the situation you are facing. You know your God is bigger than the sicknesses and diseases that's around. You know your God is bigger than any other thing that shows up. And therefore, that is where your confidence is in the Lord. Because you spend extensive time in prayer. See, I'm coming back to tongues again. When you start speaking in tongues, you see that God puts so much on your mind that, I mean, the spirit just moves. It's like water flow from your belly. And you just don't even want to stop because you have so much to pray about. And until you have breakthroughs, you don't even want to stop. In prayer, we will be alert at all times and discern the times. You see, when you are praying, you become spiritually alert and you begin to discern things, because suddenly certain things come into your mind. Suddenly you realize that, this thing that is going on, this is what it meant. Suddenly you receive revelation. Suddenly some dreams become a reality. Suddenly a decision that you've taken becomes clearer. Suddenly something that was going around you that you didn't understand becomes a lot clearer to you. You begin to discern the times to know what is going to happen before it takes place. We talk about Jesus Christ as an example when he discerned the times when he would be betrayed and delivered to his enemies and crucified. We can get that from Matthew chapter 26, verse 45 to 46. The sons of Issachar were of such breed. That's during the time of David, right? Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayal." What was Jesus doing then? He was praying. And what were the disciples doing then? Sleeping. So if you are sleeping, how can you discern the times? Somehow along the line, God will have to call you. If you're in this church and you're not getting up to spend at least 1 hour a day in prayer, you are sleeping. How can you discern the times? What is going on? How can you even have wisdom to deal with the issues that are around you? Because you've got to be a powerful person, my brother, my sister. I'm not interested in powerless Christianity anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You'd be surprised. I've been a Christian for more than 40 years. And in the last 2-3 years that I see myself becoming more powerful. Was I not a Christian? Yes, I was. Was I not going to heaven? Yes, I will go. But I needed to be a powerful Christian, because there are issues in this world that need to be dealt with. There are mountains to be moved. We need a spiritual awakening that leads us to watch and pray as Jesus did. Number three, a priest places his life at the service of his family and others that God has placed under his authority. So, Gary, I just want to remind you that you got to place yourself and your life at the service of your family, because God has placed them under your authority. For a long time, I've been praying and I'm wanting our men to stand up to be priests in their homes. And today, you decide to stand up to be a priest. This time, it's not Sonia coming to tell you about Christianity and go to church no more. You're going to take charge now, in a nice way though. So this time you're going to be in charge. You've got to be there to protect your family, because God has placed them under your authority. And same to anyone, if you don't have a man in your house and you are the only person in the house, you are the priest. If you have a man in the house and the man is sleeping and not waking up, take that mantle of a priesthood and be that priest. Because God has made us a kingdom of priests. If you're waiting for that man to come along, it will be 10 years, 30 years, maybe 2 years, 1 year, and you're waiting, and you're in the problem. Take that mantle, be that priest in the home, and offer that sacrifice before God. Stand before God, carry his presence, take that authority, and bring his influence in your home, and make sure that those people who have been placed under your authority, you guide them right. We are not here to be authoritarians over our homes and in our church. Our priesthood is not, it's not a profession to subjugate people to feel superior. Christ always served others before himself and taught his disciples to do the same. That is, serving others is a mark of priesthood. So you have to learn to serve your household. I'm afraid to say some men always want to sit there for the woman to cook for them. You all go to work, you're all tired. I don't even want to continue no more. You're all tired. She had to come and cook, do everything. Let me stop there. You got to serve others. You are in that situation. A priest's role is to serve others. So you should be there. If you get home early, do the cooking. If you don't know how to cook, women, teach them how to cook, and vice versa. Jesus taught his disciples the difference between exercising authority and serving. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28, shall we read that? Jesus called his disciples together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be the slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We are more like Jesus when we are serving. So be the servant at home. Serve as well. Do your bit. If you have to vacuum, vacuum. If you have to mow the yard, mow the yard. If you have to do something, do. Don't sit down for the woman to do everything and vice versa. Some women probably just love to sit because they've been married, they're women, and for the men to do everything for them. Yeah, you have women like that. Just like Jesus loved his church and always takes care of it, the priest should know his role in the home and do the same, not to mistreat and subdue his family, meaning don't mistreat and subdue your wife and children, but love them, care for them, and give up your own life for them, just as Jesus Christ did in John 15, verse 13. Say, greater love has no man than this, the one who give up his life for his friend. No one has a right to abuse his wife or his husband or her husband in the home. You have no right to abuse your kids in the home. You've got to love them. You've got to care for them. That is the way to be a priest. I have just 2 points, and I'll be very quick. They're not long points. But a true priest loves his wife and protects his children, guiding them in the ways of the Lord and giving himself for them and not lording over them. So, that is why I want our men to stand up so they will know scripture and they take it and say, today is our devotion. Or today, let me explain this scripture. That's the revelation that I've caught. Or when people are just all excited in the home and it's all chaotic, you bring order in the home because you know the word of God. And the word of God will become a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thank you, Job. The priests need to learn, number four, the priests need to learn to walk in power and authority. And I have one more point and I'll finish. We need to learn from Jesus, who after overcoming temptation in the desert, returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Galilee was Jesus Christ's hometown. So when he was in the presence of God, the Bible said he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he left. Even he was able to overcome the enemy, every temptation, and he left, and he walked. He didn't go to the synagogue. He went to his home. So if you are a priest, you have to walk in power and authority, literally defeating the enemy, fighting them, fighting, because some prayer need to be a fighting prayer. I've taught you about this. I don't have to repeat that. It's got to be a fighting prayer. There are times for the quiet prayer. There's time for the gentle one. Give me, give me. There's a time for, oh, I pray for this, I pray for that. There's the time that you have to pray for yourself, pray for others, but there's a time that you have to fight, because certain things, if you don't fight them in the spirit, it will kill you. I know that to be so true. Let me quote a man that I know reasonably well. The whole idea that we have to walk in power and authority is to undo the works of the evil one. That's in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. But I want to quote from a book from a man that I know very well, Apostle Gamal Maldonado, and his book called The Restoration of the Priesthood. He said this: a true priest must know how to exercise power and authority in the face of sicknesses, in the face of financial crisis, in the face of divorce, in the face of their children's rebellion, in the face of fear, insecurity, in the fear of crime, drug addiction, spiritual oppression, sin, injustice, and so forth. He should learn to exercise power and authority in the midst of all these things, unquote. All that Jesus Christ did as a priest gave him the right to exercise authority as a man, and power of God here on this earth. For example, some people marveled at the way that Jesus spoke and practiced his righteousness by commanding unclean spirit to come out of people. That is authority. And in this church, we are able to command unclean spirit to come out of people. And it does. It obeys. We are not just reading it from scripture, you know, we are doing it ourselves. And even young people are doing the same in this church. That is incredible. That is powerful. Hallelujah. And we'll soon bring a program for our children. We want to make them supernatural kids. We want to make them bold kids. Because in this country, if you're not careful, your confidence will be taken away. We want to empower them to be bold because they know Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm a parent myself, so I'm not going to teach your children any bad thing. Neither do I want to put them into trouble. Neither do I want them to be hurt or any reason, because in fact I'm the father of the house. You are all my sons and daughters. So when you are hurting, I'm hurting. When it is affecting you, it's affecting me too. You don't know how sometimes I cry and I fight on behalf of my sons and daughters in this house, meaning you, Lord. When your issue come before me and you needed somebody to fight and cry, I am with you. I don't do half measures. I go all the way. That is my nature. And God backs me up. So we want you to know that we are doing it. And I have a myriad of army who are always with me fighting these battles. Jesus took authority over circumstances and nature and to the marvel of his disciples. Even the disciples were worried. They were thinking, how did he do that? He even caused the wind to cease, even the storm to cease, because he walked in authority and power. Even the people who questioned his authority, that how dare you, by what authority do you do this? The next day they were bringing their sons and daughters for him to touch them. And I'm thinking, you hypocrites. That's why Jesus Christ was always upset with the Pharisees. He said, you hypocrite, you accuse me, you criticize me. You are saying that, hey, Gideon Nash is now putting this church into a supernatural pathway. It's going to kill our children. It's going to make this church, I mean, unbearable anymore. And therefore, I'm excluding some people from this church. All these things are here, you know. And yet, when you are in trouble, you call him pastor. And that's exactly what was happening in Jesus' time. So, Gary, you face all these things. Everybody said, Gary, but you was one of us. How come this time you are preaching to us? They will criticize you. They will turn away from you. They will backbite you. They will put obstacles in your way. But remember, if you work in authority and power, you are more than a conqueror. Let's pick the last point, and then we are done. See, the last point is this. In the Old Testament, the priest offered animal sacrifices for the sins of the world and their people continually. Today it's no longer necessary for us to do that, since Jesus Christ, our high priest, has offered himself as a sacrifice forever. Let's read just one more scripture from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 and verse 14. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. verse 14, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That is this Jesus we are talking about. But when this high priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The word I want you to pick up is knowing. Knowing this, that we don't need to offer animal sacrifices any longer. The priest must still continue to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Are you with me? A sacrifice of praise. The fruit of our lips that openly profess the name of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to tell you is that begin to bring fresh worship into your home as a priest. And in your church without fail. Because that will shift the atmosphere and release the miracles, release the healing, release the salvation. Release people to be in a place to receive from God. Wherever you are, release that. Hebrews 13, verse 11. We have to bring fresh worship. What do I mean? Worship that lifts the name of God. Some worship is all about, oh, God's love, God's love, God's love. It doesn't mean anything to you. Bring some song that is powerful, that lifts the name of God, and that lifts your spirit up, and that shifts the atmosphere. Don't let anything hold you back. Because there are atmospheres that are too dark, that are too heavy, that need to be shifted. Moses was a typical example of the priest who brought a sacrifice of praise, fresh worship, when God led him and his people through the water. You know what? Let me bring it to your situation, Gary. Because they got saved by the Passover. And then they went through the river. Because when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, it says that we thank God that our fathers went through the river. And we were baptized into Moses. So we also, today we have gone through the water and we are being baptized into Jesus. You got to align yourself to somebody. So today you have aligned yourself to Jesus. And when they went through that river, the first thing that came out of his mouth was he started praising God. He was the first songwriter and the first worship leader that ever recorded in the Bible. Even before Miriam took the tambourine, her words are short. Moses' words are long. Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 to 18. Check it out for yourself. What's a powerful declaration of God's greatness. That is fresh worship, straight from the throne room of God. Something that equipped the people, enabled them to be big, enabled them to be confident, enabled them to say, hey, our God is great. So what is the end of all things? Today, every priest in your home must offer spiritual sacrifice of praise, personal surrender, and holiness. So I will join the Apostle Paul. Having received this revelation, Romans 12, 1 and 2, said the Apostle Paul wrote, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good will and perfect will. Shall we stand?